Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin. Joining me is Professor Paul Hunter, an infectious disease expert affiliated with the University of East Anglia in Britain. Professor, some 40 countries, 40, have yet to report confirmed cases of coronavirus. Is it possible that there are places left untouched?
It is indeed certainly possible. I mean, there are two explanations for this. One is that actually there are cases, but the country doesn't have the healthcare infrastructure to identify them and test them. And that would certainly be the case of quite a few African countries in particular. The other explanation is that actually the disease really hasn't got there yet. And each day that the World Health Organization produces its situation report, there's often a statement about three more countries have reported, etc. So it's still plausible that some countries have not yet been able to identify a case.
So you would be expecting that list to shrink by the day?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And sometimes there are very good reasons for this. There was some years ago, there was in one of the flu epidemics, an island nation miles from any Pacific managed to keep the flu at bay for a year, but it sort of came back as soon as they opened their borders and stuff before. So if you are a very, very small island a long way from anywhere, you can manage your borders, but most other countries, particularly with land borders, it's impossible to keep out, eventually anyway.
A few small Pacific Island nations are on that list, but also
yes.
North Korea is on that list too. Now, it's a secretive country. It's also kept well sealed by the regime. Historically speaking, are places like this better protected in pandemics?
The issue of North Korea is interesting. I would be really surprised if they have managed to keep the infection totally out. Maybe this is that they're actually not testing, or if they are testing, they're keeping it secret from their own population and the international community. So you know, I wouldn't give any credence at all to the epidemiological data coming out of North Korea, sadly.
You are listening to Professor Paul Hunter, an infectious disease expert affiliated with the University of East Anglia in Britain. You have an interest in epidemiology and countries that are in conflict. Both
yes.
Syria and Yemen are on the list. So is Libya. All have civil
yes.
wars going on. All have death. All have upheaval. All have displaced populations. Is that a giveaway?
It is. You know, it's doubly vulnerable in these areas, really. In some ways, the conflict might actually prevent the early spread of the disease into that sort of environment because people don't go there for holidays anymore, that sort of thing. But on the other hand, people, you know, during wars, people are forever moving in and out as combatants, etc. But the problem is that if you have got a war zone, people aren't going to go for testing. They're often probably frightened to go to the hospital, especially if they are haven't got severe life-threatening illness. And don't forget as well, a lot of these war zones, they've got the average age of the population is very young because early mortality in adults. So, yeah, it's they may be the disease there, but it's difficult to detect. And if the disease does get there and start spreading in the confined places that people are hiding, then it is almost impossible to control. So, yeah, it is something that I think we are still need to worry about. But I suspect with the conflict and the shelling and the shooting that's going on, this is just one more dreadful thing to afflict the people living in those areas.
Professor Paul Hunter, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin.